morning. So if you're visiting us this morning, or if you missed last Sunday's message, we are in a short series called Fight Club. And maybe or maybe not you saw that movie. It's not a movie I want to recommend. Have you ever been in the situation where you say to someone you recommend them a movie, and then you think, yeah, it was a good movie, and then like maybe months later or a year later, you watch that movie again, and you realize there is a whole bunch of stuff in that movie that probably you shouldn't have recommended to somebody. I mean, that has happened to me. And it's because I think when we watch movies, even as Christian people, that we tend to block things out. We live in a world where we work with non-Christians. I work with a bunch of non-Christians. There's Neville and Ben, and I'm just talking generally here. But it's true, and so I don't want to shock you here this morning, but bad language is part of our culture, and when I'm watching a movie, I don't instantly turn it off because they use a bad language straight away. I like to hear the story. That's the world we live in, and I might put up with it. And so if I recommend a movie and it's got bad language in it, you're thinking, that pastor of ours is a complete pagan. And so I tend not to recommend movies now because I've been caught out before. Even some quite innocent movies, when you watch children's movies. I remember watching, what was that movie? E.T. years ago as a kid, and thinking it was all very harmless, all the kids were going off to E.T. And all I can remember is this alien riding a bicycle over a sort of the moon and with his finger glowing. And then I watched it recently, or caught part of it, the beginning of it recently. When I say recently, for me, because I'm getting older, it might have been 2 years ago. So, but I saw it, and my kids were going to watch it, and I just remember a scene around the kitchen table there where this kid's just rebellious against his mother. There's rude insinuations, the language was bad, and there was a whole bunch that I never got the first time I saw it. And I'm thinking, that's not a kid's movie. But so why am I saying that? I've got no idea. But anyway, we need to get back to it. So we're talking about, Fight Club. That's right, Fight Club. So we've got this series that we're doing called Fight Club because the Christian life is a fight. And last week, in the first, we got a couple more. Pastor Ben spoke from Paul's words in the letter to the Corinthians, where he compares the Christian life to a running race or to a boxing match. And this is, in other words, he's describing the Christian life, which requires discipline. To run a marathon or to fight in a fight requires discipline. Paul goes on in that passage to speak about Israel as God's people and how they were God's chosen people, and yet God was not pleased with most of them. Even though God loved them and most of them loved God, if you were to look back and summarize the history of Israel, the Bible says that God was not pleased with most of them. And it's kind of, that gets me thinking about what's God going to say about his church. You know, if we were to look back, you know, in 100 years' time, was God pleased with most of our behavior, even though we were the chosen people of God and we had the word of God and we went to church and we did things? What's God going to say? What's God's opinion of our time as the people of God now? Do you ever stop and think about that? We must step out sometimes, consider our situation. And it says in the Bible that God was not pleased with most of them, and that he judged them accordingly, according to his word. Because, see, the issue with God's people in Israel is that when things were going well, people tend to forget God. You know, it's like, oh yeah, we're just cruising along, everything's kind of happening, it's all mechanical, it's really good. And when things go wrong sometimes, not do they forget God, but they look to the wrong things for help. So they look to idols for help. It's funny, they wouldn't look to their God all the time, or to God for help when things go wrong. Because sometimes you don't want to hear God's answer to the situation, because that's kind of might involve repentance. Or that might involve sacrifice or discipline or me changing my attitude. So God's people at times in Israel turned away from God when things were good. They forgot God. They got all this. And sometimes they turned away from God when things went bad as well. And then occasionally, as we read in the book of Judges, they did turn to God when things got really bad, when they realized they were idols and they couldn't figure it out themselves. That's the summary. So there's a fight involved. And we heard that last week, and it takes humility. It takes us turning back to God. And so there's a discipline there. When we come to this morning, we're going to talk about one particular area where the battle rages most severely. And that is about with the Word of God itself, the Bible, the priority, if you like, of the Bible in the Christian life. Now, I've preached many a sermon in years gone by on the Bible and encouraging people to read the Bible. And I'm kind of a little bit, there's things that come to my mind as I stand up here this morning and I want to talk to you about the Bible. And something I'm very conscious of is that it's very easy to make people feel guilty that they don't read their Bible often enough, right? You know, I don't want to get up here and say, oh, you're not reading your Bible enough if you're not reading it morning, noon and night. And it's very easy to preach and to encourage you because we can all go, well, I don't read my Bible enough. Next week we're going to be talking about prayer. Same thing. Do you pray enough? Well, probably not. And so there's this battle, if you like, for the Bible. So let me say this. If we're very honest, if we're very honest about our Bible reading habits, there are going to be people here this morning who fall into the camp where they don't really read their Bibles at all. We don't even talk whether you've been a Christian for a long time. They just don't read their Bibles very much at all. In fact, most of the time they hear the Bible is when it's read out at church. That's it. They might own a Bible. They don't read their Bible much at all. Then there's other people who read it maybe once or twice during the week because they're reading it to their children and they might sometimes skim in there and they read it a little bit, but not much at all. And then there's other people who read it once faithfully daily. They might read it in the evening or at night and they go to their Bible study and they read it at church and so they're kind of reading the Bible more. They're hearing the Word of God more. And so there's this kind of scale, if you like, of how often people read the Bible in any group like this. But statistically, if you want to get statistics on this, I think they're absolutely hopeless and useless. Although there seems to be a trend as you look at statistics that say that Christians, 45% of Christians don't read their Bible more than once a week. And you read these stats, which are probably pretty reliable, they're very, very discouraging. So what do we do with that? How do we encourage people to read God's Word? Well, it's always been a struggle. It's always been a battle. I think one thing that we need to realize is it is going to be a constant battle for us for various reasons. But if you're here today, I'm just thinking about this. If you're here and you read your Bible once a week, or you might read it on the way to work, or you might hear it on a device or whatever, and you're here, you might be way down this end of the spectrum, and someone else might be way up here. Now, look, let me just get it straight. I'm not way up here. If that's the spectrum, I'm not way up here. Okay, so no kidding. I want to be honest. I want to talk about all my habits. It's not about me. But I'm not way up here. I'm not saying I'm number one. But if you're here this morning and you read your Bible a little bit, I'm hoping that by the end of the day, you're going, I see the value of reading the Bible, and I'm going to aim for there. Okay? I'm going to aim for there. And if you're here reading the Bible, and you're thinking about it, and we're praying the Holy Spirit would convict us of the importance of His Word, that you'll aim to move there because of your habits. Because no one in any discipline in life goes from here to there, from zero to hero. It just doesn't happen unless it's on TV, right? It's like, there I am, I'm the man, wow. Because you know what happens after that? We can all confess, beginning of the year, January 1st each year, we're there and we're aiming to be the hero, and about a month later, we're there. And sometimes we're back here because we've lost hope, right? We're like, nah, I'm not going to do it again. So as much as we want to encourage one another, let's be honest about where we are with God's Word. There's a lot of things that we do as Christians about when it comes to God's Word. And I was thinking about how prominent is the Word of God in our lives. There are seven things, and I'm not going to preach on these 7 points because I looked at them and thought we're going to be here all day, but these are 7 areas that the Bible affects the Christian life. First of all, we hear them. We hear the Scriptures. We hear them through reading. We hear them spoken. We read them ourselves. That's another area. We read the Scriptures ourselves. Thirdly, we pray the Scriptures. Pastor Ben has been doing that more recently, praying the scriptures when he gets up to pray. We pray the scriptures. When we're in a prayer meeting, we're praying God's words. We're not just praying our words. We're praying the words of scripture. And we see that in the Bible. Fourthly, we sing scripture, don't we? We sing it up here. Our songs are portions of scripture that we sing. The church has always sung the words of God. The whole Psalms are God's word that was sung in Israel's history. We sing the scriptures. We also meditate on the scriptures as Christian people. That is, it's not just about reading the Bible. It's about meditating on what the Bible says so that we know what the Bible says. We think about it. We chew it over. We go to work thinking about a verse or something that the preacher said from the Word of God. We meditate on it. It's not just in one ear and out the other. We're to think about it for a long time. And sixthly, we seek to live the scriptures out. And hopefully when I say we seek to live the scriptures out, that because you've stored the Word of God in your heart, verses come to mind like we're not only to be thinkers of the Word, but doers of the Word. You know, or talkers of the Word, but doers of the Word. So we live out Scripture. It's not just a matter, church, of getting a bunch of people together who come to Jesus and then we go, yeah, we think the Bible's important, we tick that off, okay? So I read my Bible to my kids or I read it, we ticked it off the list. No, we read our Bible so we might live it out. We might think about it and every step of the way, God, how should I behave? How do you want me to live out my life? And seventhly, we seek to speak the Word of God out, don't we? We don't only want to live it out, but we want to speak it out so that when we're in a situation that we, because we've meditated on, we want to give God's wisdom in context. You know, it's so easy to miss the very basic things in Scripture. Time and time again, we trip over, and I'm including ourselves corporately here, we trip over the little stuff, the clear stuff in Scripture. People don't walk away from Christ, it's my experience, because they don't understand all the detailed things around the end times of what's going to happen when Jesus comes back, which we call eschatology. They don't trip over things about forms of arguments or natures of the Trinity, or I'm holding back using a technical jargon here, but we don't tend to fall over that stuff. We fall over things like unforgiveness. We fall over things like humility. We fall over our personal sins that trip us up. These are the things that trip up Christian individuals. When the Bible says love covers over a multitude of sins, or that we should forgive our brother 7 times 7. Those are the things we trip over. Not the big, heavy, heavy duty stuff. Lest it become a religion of ideas. So all in our head, and we go home and we live however we like. That's the challenge. So we need the Bible, friends. I'm almost tempted at this point to, in rehearsing my own experience, to identify with maybe this was your experience when we go back. Maybe it's not your experience yet, but when I came to Christ, someone was sharing the gospel with me in a workplace. I never had a Bible. I never had the privilege of growing up in a Christian home where the scriptures were familiar and readily available. 21 years old, and eventually I went along to a church service and responded to the gospel being preached and went forward after 2 years working with a guy as he shared the Bible. And he always used the Bible as to answer my questions. He really wasn't asking me to come along to church. He wasn't a churchanese person. He wasn't like, come and join our club. We've got lots of real cool people there. He wasn't trying to tell me how cool his church was. He was telling me that I needed a saviour. Yes, people still speak like that. Okay, it was 25 years ago, but I'm sure they still do today. 25 years ago, the world wasn't too much different. And he would talk to me about a saviour in Jesus. He talked to me about my sin and the need of forgiveness. Anyway, he gave me this Bible and he gave me this big fat paperback. It just looked too massive for me. I never read a book. I wasn't really into reading. He gave me this big book. Didn't know where to start. Job. This guy's job. What's this guy's job? You know, Gospels. Genesis. I mean, I was completely ignorant And I needed someone to help me. And he said, just start reading the gospel and underline it. And it was really foreign. But as I read it, I started my understanding. I didn't understand it to start with. Understanding came over time. And I talked to him. This guy discipled me. You see, there was a relationship building there. Now, I'd been going to a church, pausing in my mind, not wanting to mention the name lest I offend somebody. But I was going to a church with my mother as a child for a long time. And they had a Bible there. And they'd read the Bible out. And to me, it was just gobble gobble. It didn't mean anything to me. Partly one of the issues was it wasn't a good translation. It wasn't a helpful translation. It wasn't the language it wasn't familiar. It was full of these and thous, and I'm sure the Christian religious people enjoyed it. But it didn't mean anything to me. That kind of tripped me up. It had no fluency. I didn't understand the meaning of it. It was all very pious and religious, and we all sat down again like something amazing had just happened, and it might as well be whatever. I guess what I'm saying here is that if you're way back there, the Bible's not going to mean anything to you unless you understand it. Unless you understand and connect with it. Because none of us here want just that religion either. We want to hear God speak. We want to hear and understand what God is saying in our lives. And it's the same then as it's the same now for me. And it should be the same for all of us. I want to hear what God has to say. I don't care what man's got to say. I want to know what God's got to say. And I need to hear it and to understand it. One of the great things I think about Gympie Baptist Church, this church, is that they've always, from my understanding and the guys I've met, called pastors who know and love God's Word. Pastor Ian Wright, Pastor David Blackburn, Pastor Thomas. We don't go and do a little short course and call it Bible college. We commit our lives, and we don't even go to seminary is to come out pastors. I'm sure that wasn't Ben's goal. Never was my goal. We go there to get a better understanding of the Word of God. And whatever God does with us after that is up to Him. We just want to know His Word. That's how Christians live. That's not a mark of just a pastor. That's the Christian habit. That's the Christian heart. I want to know what God has said in His Word. And that just develops and develops and develops. And so we praise God that we're in a church that honours God's Word. And we see that in our Sunday school curriculum. That's why we're teaching right through the Bible. And the choices that we make in leadership is based on God's Word, not opinions, not offending people or trying to build up friendship or make this a popular place on Sunday. It's about living out God's Word. And it's a fight sometimes. And it's tough sometimes. But ultimately, this book reads us. See, it's not are we in the Word, friends, but is the Word in us? Is it in our hearts and in our minds? Is it guiding our decisions, our prayers and our actions during the week? The Bible reads us, and we need to hear it. There's a whole bunch of verses I was going through this week, looking at the importance of hearing the Scripture. I want to mention a few of these before we get to some application. The Scripture itself places a huge emphasis on hearing God's Word. In Deuteronomy verse 36, after the Israelites had been set free out of Egypt, God, through Moses, says, in verse 36 of chapter 4, from heaven He made you hear His voice to discipline you. He showed great fire, and you heard His words out of the fire. Because He loved your ancestors and chose their descendants after them, He brought you out of Egypt into His presence with His great strength. And He drove out nations before you that were greater and mightier than you to give you an inheritance. But the fact is, it says here, He made you hear His voice. That God enabled the people of God to hear His voice. In Deuteronomy 6:4, we hear these explicit words, which you should be very familiar with if you've been walking with the Lord and reading His Word. Hear, O Israel. God says, hear, I've got something to say to you, and it's been written down in print. God is speaking. Have you ever wondered what God has to say if God was one of us? That song they sing? Well, God has spoken and he speaks and he's speaking all the time. When you get to the book of Revelation, I'm jumping ahead. We need to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to the churches. We need to. Lest we just go off our own way. And the reason in to hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one, is what he says once he said that. And love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your heart. So it's not just about hearing the word of God, it's having the word of God in your heart. So you might know God. So you might walk with God. But we need to hear his word, he says. Hear it. So many people think, they think that once you've ticked a few boxes and bought a Bible, that's all you got to do. You don't actually have to engage in it. But friends, it takes discipline. It takes hard work. It takes hours. It takes making it a priority. Oh, don't talk about commitments and priorities to me, Tony. I've got a very full and satisfactory life, thank you very much. And I'm quite happy to hang around with my Christian friends. Friends, if that's how you're thinking, you've got to ask yourself whether you're even in Christ or just in a club. It's a fight. It's a fight. We find this in the prophets, Isaiah chapter 29, verse 18. It says this, when there's a promise of God, when these people are in exile and God's going to deliver them again, he says, in that day, the deaf will hear the words of the scroll. In other words, they weren't hearing, but in that day when God does something, they will hear the words of the scroll. And out of the gloom and darkness, the eyes of the blind will see. The eyes of the blind will see. And to see in the Bible is often a metaphor for experiencing reality. So it doesn't matter how hard I preach or encourage you to read your Bible, unless God opens our eyes to see and to want, and then in seeing, want to see more, it'll just sound like a bunch of rules. Read your Bible more, right? But when God awakens your heart and gives you a heart and a passion for himself and his word, because when we know his word, we know God, then you will see and you'll want to see more. Show me more, God. See, if nothing else, all I want to say this morning is, God, give your people a passion for your word. Give us a passion for your word. Whereas I might get up and I might go to work, but I want to hear from your word. I want to be speaking your word. I want to be living your word. I want your word to be my priority. I'm not here for the fellowship. Oh, that's great. I'm not here for the coffee. Oh, that's great. I'm here for your word. Because your word is truth and your word is all that I can hold on to. Because you've spoken through your word once and forever. And it is final. Think how many times in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ where he says, we must do this to fulfill all righteousness. He only said and did everything that the Father showed him to fulfill his word. Jesus submits himself to God's word willingly. How much more so should we submit ourselves to God's word? Friends, it terrifies me. It terrifies me when I see Christian people who believe they believe something, but don't realize that God will judge their life on what he's written in his word. And yet they don't know him. They don't know what his word says. They don't know how they're going to be judged. They don't know how they're supposed to live. And they're not really that interested because they've been convinced that what they have is sufficient. That they don't need to keep growing in his word. I think of the book of Galatians. I am astonished how quickly you have been deceived. These people had the gospel and they're deceived. He's writing to the church. I think of the words in the book of Hebrews. Where these second, third or fourth generation Christians, and he's rebuking them going, you don't need meat of the word, you need the milk all over again. You don't understand the basic things about baptism and repentance leading to faith. You guys are living on this past inheritance, but you don't know it for yourself. Once upon a time, you were willing to sacrifice and to give up your possessions for the sake of Christ. Now you're not. Persecution comes in. It's a little bit tough. And you're looking at going back. Therefore, we must pay more careful attention to what we've heard, it says in Hebrews chapter 2. More careful attention to what we've heard. See, the situation that we face in the Western church today is no different than what they faced in the first century. The same attitudes. They were people just like us. It's very important to be hearing the word. Let me give you a few other examples. We'll miss out. Jeremiah, hear this, the prophet Jeremiah. You foolish and senseless people who have eyes to see, who have ears but do not hear. In the life and ministry of Jesus, he spoke a lot about hearing. When the Jews gathered around him and they wanted a sign, Jesus says there'll be no other sign. Let me see what he says in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 39. They're looking for a sign. And he answered, a wicked generation and an adulterous generation asks for a sign. Well, signs are quite spectacular. But none will be given except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of a huge fish, so the Son of Man will be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. He goes on to say, the men of Nineveh will stand up at the judgment with this generation and condemn it. For they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And now someone greater than Jonah is here, speaking of Jesus. He goes on to say, the queen of the south will rise at the judgment and with this generation and condemn it. For she came from the ends of the earth to listen to Solomon's wisdom. And now someone greater than Solomon is here, speaking about the Lord Jesus. Jesus is greater than the prophet Jonah. He's greater than Solomon in his wisdom. And these people would not hear Jesus' words. They would follow him in a crowd, but not hear and obey his words. In Matthew 13, in verse 17, Jesus says to those who have heard his word and who have obeyed him, he said, blessed are your eyes which because they see, and your ears because they hear. For truly I tell you, many prophets and righteous people long to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it. Friends, if you're sitting here this morning and you have heard God's word in the way that I'm explaining it this morning, and that it's transformed your life and brought you into the kingdom of the light, and you have a passion for his word, and you go, okay, I could read my Bible more, I've probably got other priorities in my life, but yeah, there's something within me, the Spirit of God resonates within me that what you're saying is important, then friends, you can rejoice this morning. You can rejoice because as Jesus said, people long to hear what you hear and to see what you see. This is the gospel of salvation. Everything hinges on all history and what's recorded in this book. And you've been partakers of that word through Jesus Christ. God the Father doesn't do a lot of speaking in the New Testament. He speaks through his Son, the Lord Jesus. But in one account on the Transfiguration, when they're gathered there and Jesus becomes brighter than the sun and they can't see him, it says this, a voice came from heaven, from the clouds, and this voice said, this is my Son, whom I love, listen to him. Listen to him. Friends, I want to encourage you to listen to him. But how do we listen to Jesus? Through his word. Through his word. All the signs were pointing us to Jesus. And yet, there seems to be at times, even within Christian circles, a desire for more signs rather than the reality of what God has communicated through Christ and his word. I'd encourage you to read his word. It can be a little bit discouraging, can't it? When you're trying to form good disciplines in your own life in the Bible, and you're trying to encourage other people in the scriptures themselves, and you're kind of like, why don't they get it? Why aren't they making a priority of God's word if they really believe that God has spoken through the word? Well, the Bible gives us a couple of reasons, and I share this with you as a kind of way of encouraging you if you're struggling to not only read it yourself, but to encourage others to read. Jesus says these words in John 8:47, "Whoever belongs to God hears what God says. The reason you do not hear," speaking to the Jewish people who are challenging him, "is that you do not belong to God." One reason people don't read their Bibles or appeal to God's word and appeal to their own sensibilities is that they don't belong to God. They're not in the kingdom of God. They're still working out of the kingdom of darkness in their fallen state, because the mind is affected by sin. We're not neutral, my friends. If we're born in sin, Romans 8 tells us our mind and heart is hostile to God's ways. It will not submit to God's law, neither can it do so. That's the spiritual battle. So people can say what they want with their lips, but if they're hostile to God in their hearts, which we cannot see their hearts, but if they're pushing back against God's word, and they're hostile to God's word, maybe they aren't in the kingdom of God. Maybe they don't belong to him, as Jesus said. John 10. Jesus said, I did tell you, but you did not believe. So Jesus has spoken his words. The works I do are in my Father's name, and they testify about me. Verse 27, my sheep listen to my voice, I know them, and they follow me. Sheep want to hear what God's word says, Jesus' sheep. We need to pause. There is one other place I want to take you. 1 John 4:6, in the similar vein. Dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. Speaking about those who have turned away or left the fellowship or left the faith because the word of God has been preached, he says, they are from the world and therefore speak from the viewpoint of the world. And the world listens to them. We are from God, and whoever knows God listens to us. Is that too strong a call to say? Here is a pastor writing to the church saying, look, if people turn their back on God, and they're not listening to the apostolic teaching of the word, then he says clearly, they're not of God. He clearly says it. If they're not going to listen to God's word, they're not going to live out God's word, and they're not listening to us, the apostles and the pastors, then they're not from God. So don't freak out here. Don't worry about it. If you're following God and his word, let them do whatever they want. Let them go. They weren't with us in the first place. Now, that's not my words. That's what he's saying in 1 John. But I affirm them. He says, we are from God, and whoever knows God listens to us, but whoever is not from God does not listen to us. This is how we recognize the spirit of truth and the spirit of falsehood. Friends, that should be an encouragement to us. That if we're seeking to live out God's word, we realize from time to time there will be resistance, even from people whom we have fellowship with. That's a fight, isn't it? It's a fight to stay faithful to God's word. Let me wrap some things up before we give some application. Listening to the word of God is very important. The last book of the Bible, the first chapter of Revelation, says, blessed is the one who reads out loud the words of this prophecy. And blessed are those who hear it and take heart to what is written, because the time is near. That's the first chapter of Revelation. The last chapter of Revelation warns about warns anyone who hears the words of this prophecy of the scroll and adds anything to them or takes anything away from them. Now, that can be interpreted in a number of ways, but one way that can be read is that if you add to the word of God your opinions that are not contained in the word of God, or if you take away and say, no, God doesn't judge things that way, God judges things a different way, then God says, if anyone does that, that person will share
will not share in the tree of life in the holy city, which is described in the scroll. Let's talk about a few applications quickly that may be helpful. I want to just throw out some things that I think may be particularly challenging for us in our climate. Not for everyone, but for some. I think there is a danger, and this is a danger for us as parents who want to pass on the faith, as it were. We're to teach our children. Now, we can't pass on saving faith, but we can pass on a knowledge of faith, which is a summary of the gospel, which we try and do. One of the dangers that Christian teachers face, whether they're teaching in a Christian school or they're teaching at Sunday school, or if you're a parent just wanting to teach your kids the scriptures, one of the things that we face is that if we're just seeing ourselves as teachers rather than as men and women of God who are following God's word, it can become very, very like, I'll just communicate what God says, but it's not in my own heart. The challenge for us as men and women of God is to not only know the Word of God, but to live the Word of God out in our lives as our first priority, and not just see ourselves as communicators of the truth. This is something we need to check our own hearts with. We need to do that as parents, that we're not just, oh, okay, we need to teach the Bible now, sit down now. And we hear stories about why people grew up with a real coldness towards the Scriptures, because we were just ticking it off the box. I've heard many a testimony from people in my age now saying, oh, we don't read the Bible to our kids because we got it jammed down our throat. We don't sing anymore because it was a bad experience. Or I remember when we used to pray and my mother prayed or my father read and it was just a horrible devotional time. And because of that, sadly, people don't continue to pass on the faith. They don't, rather than saying, I'm going to do it in a gracious and kind and loving way, they just don't do it at all because it brings back bad memories for them. Is anyone, don't raise your hands, don't scratch your head at this point, Alan, I'll think you. But you see, it's the baby bathwater. We've got to be careful that we don't throw out something that God has given us simply because we had a bad experience. We need to keep our hearts in check. We need to get translations that we can read. We can plug into devices and listen to it on the way to work, the scriptures. We can talk about them. Friends, let me say this. There is a growing culture that Ben and I are wanting to encourage in this church, and that is we don't need to have just home groups, but we're encouraging people who would consider themselves mature Christians or further along to catch up with someone and read the Bible with them and to pray with them one-on-one. Sometimes a lot more can be done in personal discipleship than there can be in group sessions. Some people will open up one-on-one than they will in a group session. Imagine if everyone in this fellowship who professes faith was discipling someone younger, or maybe just hanging out with someone older. What an encouragement if everyone did that. And then there may be even a few who are bold enough to say, will you, to a non-Christian or workmate, will you sit down and read the Bible with me? Would you like to talk about the Bible? And developing a culture of discipleship. We have our Bibles on our phones. We have devices. And this is something that we want to encourage people to read the Bible and to come to understand the centrality of Christ in the Bible. We have a number of books out there. We have a book over here. You know those reading plans? It's read three chapters in Genesis and a couple in the Psalms and a few in Matthew. Robert Mahaney's reading plan. There's a Bible over there you can buy which has got all those texts right the way through, so you don't have to flick around, you can just read it. You can buy chronological Bibles to help you understand how the Bible goes together rather than thinking, where's this fit in? Reading your Bible. Friends, we are so blessed in this day and age. It seems ironic that we should be standing here trying to encourage people to get resources and read the Bible. We have an abundance of it, and yet at the same time, for some reason, we have a biblical illiteracy going on, and we've got, in any other time in history, we've got so many resources way up here, and we've got so few people actually knowing the Word of God and speaking the Word of God and living the Word of God. What's going on there? Let me ask you the question, what's going on there? Oh. Is it priorities? Is it love? Is it the things of the world? Are we just so smart we don't need to hear what God's saying anymore? Are our hearts hard? What's going on there, friends? I'm asking you. What's going on there? Praise God that that's not the sum total of the situation. That God is at work through His Word. That God is building His church. D.L. Moody, famous preacher, said that the Bible will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from the Bible. He also said that at the end of his life, he was one of the great evangelists that God used to bring many people to Him. He said, at the end of my life, if I could relive my life, if I could, he would devote his entire ministry to reaching children for the gospel. Friends, maybe you're sitting there this morning and you do have a love for the Lord which is growing because you're reading His Word and His Word is true. And you're thinking, well, what can I do? There's so much you can do. You can read the Bible with someone regularly, faithfully. You can share the Bible. What you're reading, friends, what you're reading is not just for you and for me. If you're spending time with God, it's not just for your encouragement. It's just not for your making you feel good. God has given you something by His Spirit every time you read the Bible that you can share with someone else in that day. Someone who's hurting, someone who's suffering, a non-Christian, a Christian. We should be sharing what God gives us and not keeping it to ourselves. It's not just for you. What an encouragement. I encourage you to share God's Word, what God says to you in His Word, to shout it from the rooftops. To shout it from the rooftops. Like I said when I started, I'm going to pray in a moment. Maybe you're here. I want you to think about an honest evaluation of your life in relationship with God's Word and say, do I understand it? Am I reading it? Am I searching the Scriptures? Am I sharing it with others? Am I asking God to reveal Himself in His Word to me that I might walk in truth? Maybe you need to make a decision here to look at your life, to ask the hard questions. Let us pray. Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You that Your Word is true and we can go to Your Word because Your Word is eternal. That Your Word is always relevant. It is always in season. We ask God You'd forgive us for looking to the world for how we should conduct ourselves at times. Forgive us for allowing the world to squeeze us into its mold rather than letting Your Word mold us. Father, we thank You for Your Word, that we have it available to us. We think of those many, many nations that don't have translations in their own language, and we think of the abundance of the Word of God that's available to us. And we pray, God, at this point and this time for translators. We pray for Thomas and the translation that he's working on. We thank You that we can support that work. But Father, help us not to be hypocritical. Help us to check our own hearts that we invest so much time and prayer into those who don't have the Word just to leave our Word here and to give it lip service, not to enact it, not to encourage others to read it, not to share the gospel. Father, we pray that more and more this church would be a church that leans on Your Word, shares Your Word, and encourages one another to live by it. Father, forgive us for leaning on our own understanding and our own wisdom at times. We pray for our children this morning too, Father. We thank You for them. We pray, God, that we would be faithful men and women, mums and dads, uncles and aunties and grandparents, to make the most of every opportunity to speak Your Word into their lives. And we ask, Holy Spirit, that You would do something in their lives to bring them to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not just a knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, not just a knowledge of the gospel, but, Lord, a saving knowledge, a saving relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank You, Father. Thank You for those people who do share the Word, who run Bible studies in this place, who persevere. We thank You for strengthening Your people. Strengthen us, we pray, and give us a greater passion and love for Your Word. We pray, Father, You'd pour out Your Spirit upon us afresh and bring conviction where it's needed and bring encouragement where it's needed to open up your word for mums and dads that have left the word sitting there and made excuses, who are racing off to this, dropping kids off. We all live busy lives, but Father, help us to make an account of our life and to give your word the priority that it deserves. Father, we thank you that you hear and answer our prayers, and it's such a joy to hear your word which cuts through all the nonsense of life and gives us hope and light and clarity that we might see our God and walk according to your ways the rest of our life. Father, may that be the testimony of all that are gathered here. We pray all these things, asking them in Jesus' precious name. Amen.